Cameron.
Hi, Chad.
It's me. Oh. It's you.
What's up?
I got a question for you. I'm on my almost hungover Saturday. So, do you think cats can get like hungover off of catnip?
Actually, yeah, I think so.
Because Ripley's acting a little. He's a little sluggish today. He got stoned with us last night. Funny enough, he also last night he peed on the floor in the little paint tray. He hasn't done that in a bit. And the last time he did that, I just realized he also had catnip that day. And so I'm wondering if catnip turns him into like a college student where he's like, I gotta go pee in the closet.
That might be possible. I actually don't know that much about catnip affecting cat behavior, but that kind of sounds possible.
Right. And he'd gone like 2 full weeks where he didn't have anything wrong, like no accidents. He's been doing good. He's really active. And I give him some catnip, but he pees on the floor, and he's just been, like, really sluggish this morning. Normally, he's got a lot of energy, and he's like, nah, I'm gonna sleep under the bed. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily a headache, but I think there are kind of, like, effects of coming down from something, no matter what kind of a substance that, you know, if something affects you that way, you usually kind of pay for it later.
Yeah.
As you adjust.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. It's funny to think about though, right? Because obviously I had a little too much to drink last night and I was going to bed. I went to bed early and I'm like, fuck, I might be hungover. I hope I don't have to record a podcast with Cameron while I'm like really hungover, and dodged a bit of a hangover. I went to bed really early and I slept in a bit. So I got like 9 hours of sleep, had an Advil, a glass of water, I'm on my second cup of coffee. So I'm actually like, I'm feeling okay. All things considered, I need to take a break from the hooch. It's been a rough month.
Yeah, nothing wrong with enjoying some and taking a break some.
But, how about, I'm trying to think if I actually have anything fun or interesting to talk about, because we don't really have a topic, and it is Saturday. I just read some comic books, but other than that, like, how you doing?
That's right. It's Opinions Are Cheap with Cameron and Chad.
I always forget to do that.
Sometimes I like to leave it open because it's funny to do it really late.
Yeah.
But I think we've done that like way too late, like 5 times in a row. So I wanted to do it at the beginning once just to show that we can.
I agree. We owe our listeners some level of class.
This is a weird little tangent, but. You know how I like to paint. I like to paint little minis.
Yes.
We talk about Warhammer a lot, but also I like to just buy the 3D printed minis on Etsy because you can find anything. There's like original characters. There's IP characters, all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
And somebody like, of course, because it got really popular really fast, I was like, I wonder if there's Helldivers minis.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
And yeah. And so far, I gotta say, I'm being very picky, but I haven't seen any good ones.
Aw.
And I feel like a lot of them, it takes time to actually sculpt the model.
Yeah.
So I think what's going on is, this is like, oh, is this the flavor of the month? I gotta get on this real fast. And so they're taking like, oh, generic space soldier. Add a skull on the shoulder. Okay, now that's a Helldiver. Oh, just add a cape. Okay, now it's a Helldiver. Because it'll be like, it'll be colored right in the little thumbnail, but if you look closely, they're holding like a prop that's clearly not a Helldivers reference.
Oh.
And it's kind of like, oh, this is a different model that you already had, like, borderline ready, and you just, like, posed it different, and then you painted it black and yellow for the thumbnail.
Sure.
And I'm kind of like, I think that it would be fun to maybe convert, you know, if you got Warhammer minis and you just painted them Helldiver colors, that's fun. I'm not going to complain about that. But I think if I wanted to actually display like a Helldivers thing, I would want it to look as accurate as possible.
Yeah.
And there is a style. Even though it's very derivative, there is kind of an on-model look.
Sure, sure. I wonder how long it'll take for the good models to show up. Like if it'll be a couple months, or just like another couple days or a week.
I'm super curious. Have you ever looked into 3D modeling?
Not a lot. I know my brother's played around with Blender, so I've seen, you know, the software to a degree. I know bits and pieces, but I've never actually done it myself.
There are very interesting tutorials on YouTube because you'll find things that are like, you look at the thumbnail and it's the most beautiful looking character and it's got this cool stylized look and it's cel shaded where it looks like a 2D image, and then you click on it, it's actually a 3D model. It's like, well, how did they get that effect? It looks like, how did you do that hair? And the title of the video is like, how to sculpt this in only 4 hours. And it's like, how in the world can you do this in only 4 hours? Like, you could do 2 of these characters a day. And yeah, then you watch it and it's like, they clearly have a lot of practice and they have all their like system down and they're only good at that one thing.
Oh, sure.
And then you watch the other videos and it's like, here's a very good looking character, but it's like, how to do this in under 60 hours. And it's like, oh, that looks a little more real. Like,
yeah. I know I've had people tell me I should look into it more, and obviously my brother would be happy if I picked up that hobby because it could help with future game stuff we might work on, or VR chat stuff. And there's good logic there, but I have so many things I spend my time on that I kind of don't want to add another one where it's like, how to do this in under 60 hours? Because that's a long time.
It is, and you know, it's hard. Like, I'm at a point similar where it's like, I don't necessarily want to pick up new hobbies anymore. I would rather like be good at something.
Right.
So the stuff that I'm already half good at, I may as well just practice and try to get better at. And so when somebody's like, well, here, you should program this, or you should learn this, or you should. And it's like, I'm going to stick to what I know. It's not laziness. It's literally like, I can't start at step one right now.
Yeah, I want to learn how to do like all the stuff, right? Because it's fun. And I think like, knowing how to do things and it enriches you as a person. It makes you interesting. You can, it gives you skill sets, you know, tertiary skill sets that you might not have thought you had or thought you would learn. But the act of like climbing the mountain, right? Starting another climb when I'm still struggling with writing and music and vocals and mini painting, I think those are the 4 big ones I got now. But that's, yeah, I don't paint very often just because, well, the cost of the figures is one, but finding time to slot it all together is difficult. At some point, I really do want to learn how to play the bass guitar. Even if I never get like good at it, I just still like, you know, be able to like jam through Seven Nation Army or something like that. Some kind of easy ass bog standard rock song, just to say I could do it. I think it'd be really cool. But I would kind of be starting from square one because it's been so long since I picked it up. I'd want to take probably a couple lessons just like so I know I'm holding the thing right. I'm doing like this finger stretches right or whatever, just to get the really rudimentary basics down that everything's built on. And it's like, oh, well, I should pay a dude like $100 to teach me that. And so now there's that cost involved and it's just a lot. One day.
What was it the other day? I was hosting a paint session on VRChat, and I think I showed you, but we watched that public access raw time video where she's taking calls.
Okay.
Did I send you that?
I don't think so.
Oh, you know what? Spoiler, there's my glad space, but I painted, it's like a 30-minute video of this public access show where this lady's taking calls, and it's like the show is music videos. It's kind of like an MTV thing. And in between the music videos, she would just take live calls.
Okay.
And so just people like calling in and saying like, hey, what was that last song? And it's like, oh yeah, that was Poison and Nirvana. I was like, well, no, that was the song before that. It's like, oh, I don't know. We only played 2. So I don't know what you're thinking of. And she would like hang up on them. And it's just people like trying to troll her, but she's so like amazingly fast. Like she's astoundingly sharp.
Nice.
That it's like watching a swordsman. Like it's truly fascinating. I fell in love with her. And so for paint night, I said, hey guys, we should watch this video. And so I put up the video. It's only 30 minutes. And I said, okay, everyone paint her. And so in a 30 minute, like, okay, can you do this in half an hour?
Yeah.
And it was a very fun session, I thought. And I enjoyed painting. no one else bothered, because I think the challenge was like, I think the thought about it was too much, where no one wanted to start because they thought like half an hour, I can't do that. So they just like didn't bother. And I was a little disappointed that I couldn't like inspire them to try harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, you don't have to do good. Just see how far you can get in half an hour.
Right. Even if you just kind of like underpaint.
Yeah. Or at least like just pick something, like focus on anatomy and just get like a silhouette down. Just do her face. Just do the background. Like you can practice and learn. But also like if you actually time yourself and think about it, what can you get done? And it's a very interesting challenge. But I think I scared people away by like throwing too much at them at once. Because also the whole time, like, she's so funny that like we're just kind of getting distracted and laughing.
Sure.
So you know that I kind of work fast when I start doing art stuff.
But, oh, yeah.
But it was just kind of like they're doing double takes of like, who is this magical woman? How does she do this?
Nice. I started producing some of the songs I've been working on. So I got one that I'm a handful of hours into. And it's been a little bit since I've done production on my own stuff. It hasn't been that long since I've done production because I was playing around with one of Joe's songs. But how I treat his stuff and his, you know, soundscape and mine are pretty different. And it's kind of funny that I ultimately went back to a bunch of like 14 and 18, or not 18, but like 10 to 14 year old mixing tutorials that are kind of always my go-to. I'm like, okay, I don't remember what I'm supposed to do with guitars. Spectre Sound Studio, how to mix heavy guitars. And it's this really old video where he's younger. He hadn't lost any weight yet. And just, you know, like there's something kind of nostalgic about those old ones, but they're really good tutorials. And so watching him do all of this for like, this is like the sixth time I've probably watched this video. I'm like, okay, that's what I need to do. Go back, do it. Hey, turns out it works. The professional knows what he's talking about. But it's been interesting because I use a lot of the same drum samples from song to song. And I like how I get them to sound, but I didn't want to, when I swapped computers, I didn't take some of those presets with me. And I was like, I want to learn how I did this. I did this once years ago, and then I don't think about it anymore. And I want to think about it. How do I get a kick drum to sit right? How do I EQ a snare? And I was really fucking struggling and getting mad. And like, I hate these samples. What is wrong with me? And I did some weird shit to that snare drum to get it to sound a way I wanted it to that I would never normally do. And I really like how it sounds because it sounds kind of like a gunshot. I'm just like, I don't know what I did before to be happy with this, but I'm happy with it now. And there's a certain level of like comfortability, you know, to really play around with plugins and use, hey, this is meant for being put on voices. I'm going to put it on the drums and make it work. So that's been fun. But it's not, you know, when you say like fast and slow going, like, the start is really slow, and then once you get over that first, like, hour hump, then things get fun and get really fast, because, like, the rhythm section is done, and everything else can get built on top of it, and that goes much quicker. So that's been my kind of last handful of days.
And that's good, too. But also, you know, producing is kind of its own art form.
It really is.
As mechanical as it is, sound engineering is also very much about understanding the feel of things.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you anything about like the Sparkle Dog event coming up?
Oh, I know you said that you mentioned that there is gonna be one, and I'm guessing people are gonna like dress up and you know take their avatars and try to make them very very loud.
Yeah. So, oh man. It's funny. So like the furry group on VRChat I'm in, sometimes we have these themed events, and this next one, it's a Sparkle Dog, where it's kind of this like ironic, I'm going to say ironic celebration of that DeviantArt style of like the most obnoxious furry designs you've ever seen, where it's like a clash of colors and it's just unappealing.
Yeah.
And my first thought was like, oh, well, yeah, you could just like color, you know, everyone's just going to get their avatar file and just like recolor the texture or something and call it a day. But then I started thinking about it and it's like, no, there's really like a craft to this. like, if you want to actually nail the aesthetic, it's more than just recolors. There are subtleties to it. And it's turned into this interesting debate where I realize that I'm, like, artistically critiquing different Sparkle Dog designs. And people are asking for help. And the, like, they'll say, like, I don't know what to do. And someone else will say, well, just open it and paint and, like, pick random colors. And then I'm like, no. And I go into this whole diatribe about, like, how important it is to, like, to nail a certain amount of, like, it has to be, like, aesthetically displeasing. It's not just about loud and noisy. It's, like, you have to have things that are, like, objectively bad. Like, strange patterns that don't make sense. You have to have, like, so you sent me this one here.
Yeah, I made this one in where it's like a Pick-Rew thing. A couple, back when I started that furry slam band, someone's like, you guys should all make Sparkle Dog avatars. And so I found a Pick-Rew thing and I threw this together really fast. And so someone who knows about the fandom was like, that's perfect. I hate it. And then the other two people didn't know what they were doing and made things that were a lot more, I think, structurally cohesive. And it's like, no, you need more weird colors. You need horns and wings. And, you know, it needs to be obnoxiously loud. But I think there's a certain level where you can't go too far because then people know it's a parody. So it has to look like you tried.
Yeah, if you're trying to make it not a joke, then yeah, you do have to thread that needle. But even if you want it to be parody, you can still, like, do it correctly, you know? Where'd that... Oh, I know I had a picture of it. Is it this one? Oh, this is the old one. So there was this joke one that went around where it was like, it's a kitsune.
Oh, wow.
And like all nine tails are different because like one of them is purple with green polka dots. And then one of them is blue with the Star David. And then one of them is red with hearts and a swastika. And then one of them is just like, it's just, what is it? It says emo tail. And it's just like, it's black with like like Johnny the Homicidal Maniac scribbles all over it. And then one of them is just literally a snake with its own head and a bow tie.
I will send this to other people because this is, it is so, it's so much. I mean, this is like a funny, this would be like the political cartoon making fun of furry Sparkle Dog characters, like, is what I get out of this because it is everything.
Yes. It like the stomach is a fish tank with fish in it. It has a wing, but the wing is taped on next to the nuclear waste needle that's injected into the hip. It's missing one leg. The four legs have thumbs. It's stabbed in the heart with the sword of 1,000 sorrows. It has a Pokemon Go wristwatch. Like, it's just, there's so much going on here.
Yeah,
I
hate it.
It's just like, this is, yeah, this used to be my favorite joke. A furry picture. Like, whenever someone, like, makes jokes about furries, I will share that picture with them. It got replaced recently.
Ooh.
With someone that took it to the next level.
Oh, God, there's a lot on this one.
The longer you look at this one, the more amazing it is.
I like the piano keys literally glowing on the tail, for one. I think that's a clever...
Yeah, there's, like, piano keys. It doesn't make sense. Like, there's no way to, like, color fur in a way that would look like this. Like, it just defies logic so much.
Yeah.
Other tail is not only, like, it's broken off into sections where each one is a different rainbow color, but the blue one says, I heart New York.
I see MCR hidden on one of the tails as well.
There's an unopened condom in the hair.
Yes, there is. The same way
you would put, like, a brush in your hair.
There's a cigarette.
They also...
as well, smoking a cigarette, and then has, like, a Pokemon necklace. But also, like, six other necklaces and a dead raccoon.
And an air freshener to keep the dead raccoon at bay.
I was kind of hoping there wouldn't be a swastika, but I think I see one.
Well, the what's interesting with the swastika, though, is that they broke the trend where instead of putting it next to the Star of David, they put it next to the Pepsi button, which I found a very inspired choice.
Where's the Star of David on here? Because I'm sure there is one.
Actually, this one might not have one.
It does have the hammer and sickle on the tie, though.
Yeah, right next to the McDonald's.
The tie doesn't make any sense. And it also looks like there's three boobs.
Yeah, I think that's the shoulder, and it's just kind of like a bad drawing.
Oh, I see.
It's also I love how there's mushrooms growing out of the side, but the mushrooms also have bolo ties.
I like Waldo's just kind of in the middle there.
Yeah, you can find Waldo.
There seems to be some kind of like engine growing out of the back, was it the half muscle maybe?
Oh yeah, on the hind leg there is a factory.
Yeah.
That produces microplastics, and you can see the smokestacks. And there's a little car driving up the secondary tail that grows off of the hind leg for some reason.
Oh, one of the ears is a toilet. I didn't even notice that.
Honestly, this is like the fifth time I've stopped and looked at this picture, and I noticed a couple things I didn't before. Like, there's too much going on.
I see multiple country flags. So I see Japan, I see United States. I think there's at least one or two more. I do like the Pepsi button. I don't know what the button is on the other side of the swastika. Also, it's the swastika is going the other way on this one. It's like the Hindu.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, because of the quality of this image, I wouldn't read too much into if this person even knows what a swastika is.
It's one of those things where it's clearly it's parody, but you're trying to like determine to what extent.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't know who made this or exactly why, but it is art. I'm going to classify it as art.
You know, I mean, I've stared at it for a couple minutes now and we're talking about it and I hate the background. If the background was like white, I think it'd be so much easier to parse what was going on. But because the background is blue and purple and orange and red and like darker blue and there's like some, I think the thing's shadow is like liquid purple, at least it looks like coming off, unless that's blood. It's just so visually noisy.
It very much is. And it's like, it's too noisy to the point where, yeah, it is funny, but also it's hard to look at, even as a joke, it's hard to look at.
I do like this one more than the other one. I think this one is like sillier, and that's probably just because of like the posing, whereas the other one looks very grumpy and sad.
Well, this one also, I feel like is actually drawn by a furry artist, because the other one, like, I've never seen a fursona that looks like this. Like, if you look at the face, this person clearly drew a dog.
Yeah.
And then this one, it actually has qualities where it's like, oh, I could almost believe this being someone's fursona.
I do remember some of the old Sparkle Dog fursonas, and I think I've talked about this before, but there was one who, in the description, was very adamant that its cum tasted like strawberries. And that you couldn't kill it because it would heal too fast to be, you know, if you cut off its arm, its arm would just grow back. So the only way to kill it would be to cut its head off with a big wide blade, but it had a very strong neck, so you'd have to swing it really fast. And let's be real, you're probably not strong enough to cut its head off.
And that's the thing. It's like that. I feel like that spirit is kind of where this kind of comes from, is the, I'm not compensating for anything, you're compensating for something kind of attitude.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't thought about that in a long time, but I still remember it, right? Like, there is something kind of weirdly charming and stupid. Like, I held on to that information and I forgot math equations.
Yeah. No, and it's like, we can laugh and say, isn't that silly? But also, there's a certain amount of, like, the human condition boiled into it where it's just like, this kind of new age internet style peacocking is very fascinating from a behavioral standpoint.
Yeah.
But also, it's also very relatable. Even if you never had your own character, you can kind of understand what it's like to be a kid and like not understand how to reel in and design.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or tell a story.
You just get kind of excited. It's like, what if everything cool at once, and just get carried away with it?
So I guess here's the question for
so
you.
So anyways, oh yeah.
Is what are you going to do for your Sparkle Dog?
So that was actually the question, was what is the approach there? And somebody said, well, the easiest thing to do is just put on Audio Link so that when music's playing, you just like pulse bright colors. And this went into a debate where I started explaining how the way that music works is that it's like math and there is a pattern and inherently things are going to be aesthetically pleasing if it goes to a beat. So I feel like with Sparkle Dog stuff, you almost have to avoid going to tempo.
Yeah.
Like everything about you has to be, to some extent, slightly discordant.
You set it to tempo and then you put like a delay on the color so it's never on tempo. It's always just a little off.
Yeah. And that, like, I was writing up these paragraphs, like not just that, but like getting into other things where people would say, well, what about this? And then I would like critique and build off of it and other people chip in and like build. And it got to the point where like some people weren't going to. And then after we had this discussion, I feel like it inspired some people to bother, including myself, because I wasn't going to.
Sure.
But after talking about it and like really breaking it down and artistically critiquing what a Sparkle Dog actually is, it's like, what can I do? And so, yeah, I have actually been working on mine. And I don't know that this picture necessarily does it justice, but here is a work in progress.
Oh, yeah, no, that's definitely on the way. Between like the extremely bright reds and like cyan blue that are obnoxious to look at. I like what you did with the hair. So, your horns got all kinds of shit going on.
So, yeah, the horns. Okay, look, just to back up, I have a like a rabbit. It's not a rabbit. It's a jackalope. But it's a rabbit with brown fur, and that's my go-to VR chat avatar. So for Sparkle Dog, I made it blue. The horns are the carpet from every arcade.
Oh!
Where there's, like, stars and moons.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
The inside of the ears, where it's white, those are a selection of all of the Apple brand heart emojis, and organized by rainbow color.
Wow.
One of the eyes is replaced with an eight ball because I like billiards.
There you go.
I have fangs now instead of buck teeth.
You sure do.
My hair is a Lady Gaga Chromatica album that's then like reverse polarized and stretched out so you can't tell.
I was going to say, I like the coloring in the hair. That's a clever way to get it.
The collar, I have like a choker on, but it's animated with TV static, so it's hard to stare at. My jacket is a black and orange grid, but it does not follow the contour of the jacket. It's like this optical illusion where it just, the image stays stationary and it's like a cutout wherever the shape is.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like, you know how like with Chowder where like the texture would stay stationary while the characters move around?
Yeah.
So it's that, but it's just this very abrasive, dizzying thing. So it's like hard to look at from a distance.
There's something Harley Quinn-esque about it, too.
Yeah, there's just like, what was like one of my socks is a hazardous waste warning. Oh, and then my fingernails. On each of my nails, I have different Windows 98 default icons painted.
I don't know how your brain decides to go with Windows 98 icons or like the Apple.
Honestly,
emojis.
The color just sort of like it complemented the blue I went with, which normally like painted nails, you want to stand out.
Right.
So it's almost like grody the way that it's like the same kind of blue. And then there's just like these weird like beige folders painted on. So it's like it's bad. But the other thing I wanted to point out was I also made this custom dithered shading effect. So you see the like checker mark on my chin?
Yes.
So that's actually shadow. So that will move depending on where the light is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's just, that's what it looks like when there's no light. Like otherwise the avatar is like full bright, but you'll see like the checker marks moving.
The amount of work you put into this is kind of...
This is only 3 hours.
Really?
This was like, we canceled Raid Night on WoW, and it's like, well, I just pounded a monster for this, so I'm going to be up anyways. I may as well crank this out before bed.
This is a lot to do, I think, in 3 hours. Now, I don't really know how long it takes to do some of this stuff, because I don't model or work in VR chat, you know, any of this stuff. But to me, this seems like a lot of work, and also just, like, the ideas are so specific, Cameron. I don't know where you find like some of them are even inspired, like the Lady Gaga hair and the carpeting for the horns, and others are just fucking weird. And I don't know how you find all of these in your head and shove them onto a canvas.
So I hope it happens, but I did this and I showed off a preview last night to some guys that were asking for help. And similarly, like, I was complimented. They said that it, like, inspired them to do better because they showed up and they said, well, here's mine so far. And it was just like a recolor. And I said, well, here's mine. And then they're like, oh, I can do so much more. I didn't even think about that. I could do outlines. I could do this. Somebody's going to do, you know how you can, like, do that cell shading outline effect? Mm. So there's like a black line around the 3D model.
Yeah.
Somebody else was saying how, oh, you know what you should do is you apply a color effect to it so that, like, on the left side it's red and the right side it's blue. So it looks like you're supposed to be viewed with 3D glasses, but you aren't.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That would be cool. Like, stupid things like that. Like, very interesting gimmicks. But the one guy was saying, like, he wanted to have long hair, but he wanted to have kind of like the jacket where, like, the texture doesn't move. And he was like, well, what should I do for the hair? And I showed him this. Where did it go? I just had it. Oh, is this the tab I closed? I closed the wrong one. Why? This is terrible podcasting.
Hey, everybody. It's your friend Chad letting you to know to remind you to let you know that this is terrible podcasting. I feel like I almost had a stroke. I showed him
this Vivzy Pop character. Where it's a sparkle dog kind of thing with, like, this rainbow hair.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, we should do something like this, because I think this is a cool look. And he was like, well, no, I want something, like, more, like, weird and creative, like the noise that I went up with. So it's like, okay, well, instead of a rainbow, how about the poster to Napoleon Dynamite?
Oh, my God. For
your hair. See? And I think there's an element of, like, you just want someone to look at your character, immediately be put off by it, look away, and have to do a double take and process what they're looking at. And that's half of it.
Yeah.
The other half is the bright colors. It has to be rainbow, it has to be bright. But the confusion is an element, and there's an art to harnessing the right kind of confusion.
It's kind of like for a little bit there, I feel like there was a comedy style where things were just random. And it was like, lol, it's so random. You never know what's going to happen next. And none of that was ever funny, usually, unless it wasn't actually random. It just appeared random at first glance. And then you realize that there was layers and a narrative and, you know, like, thought going on. And I feel like what you're doing has a weird amount of both, where it's definitely random, but you're picking from an aesthetic, like, tablet or I'm trying to think of the paint palette. Like, you have a paint palette with aesthetics on it, and you're drawing from the same palette. They're just weird, but there's enough cohesiveness to the shit you're doing.
Well, yeah. And so, like, when I suggested the Napoleon Dynamite poster, what I did was I looked up images from a specific year. Like, I was looking up, like, 2011 pictures, 2006 pictures. Like, what was pop culture at the time? And like, I was looking at the Google image thing with that very generalized phrase. And I realized that, like you said, that kind of is a palette. Like, there were pop culture things of the year. And it's like, huh, like, you could use this as a theme and just be the 2006 furry.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And now it's like whimsical and nostalgic versus back then it was just like basic pop culture. It's like, oh, of course you're for Sparkle Dog Fursona likes Napoleon Dynamite. Because that, you know, everybody was watching it at, like, that time. Which, that movie fucking sucks, by the way.
It's, I feel like I have to watch it more recently to judge it.
That's fair.
There's, like, weird confusion around it. I saw a tweet the other day where somebody said that his daughter saw it for the first time. And she watched it, and then afterwards she asked, she's like, Dad, like, I watched Napoleon Dynamite, and I can't tell, like, was that a good movie or not? And then he put his hand on her shoulder and said, like, you know, daughter, that is how everyone in the world felt back then.
I think that's true. I haven't seen it since 2007, and I only watched it once in 2007, and I was like, I hate this. But everybody was fucking quoting it, and, like, the stuff they were quoting was remarkably quotable. And so there's clearly, like, there's a stickiness to that movie that you cannot deny. You know, it seeped into pop culture for a reason. But I also wanted to find the people who made it and just, like, slap them. I was really kind of upset with that movie. And I don't even know why. I don't really remember what it's about. I think it just, it's one of those, it was very cringe-focused humor, and I have an issue with that most of the time, as we've talked about.
I think that there were things about the movie that I liked, but then the things that people talked about were not the parts I liked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll see shirts at Hot Topic that say, vote for Pedro. And then someone will do, like, their Napoleon Dynamite impression. And it's like, I don't like this movie anymore.
Yeah. I wonder if the next time I win the writing challenge for my writer's group, I should have the theme be Sparkle Dog. I wonder if that would...
I wonder, yeah.
If that would draw people in or push them away.
I think that it could be an interesting challenge. Again, like I've kind of... When they announced this was the meetup theme, my first thought was like, eh, I don't really care. You know, I could be lazy about it. I could just skip it. Who cares? But after, like, critically breaking it down and turning it into an art project, it's been very interesting to... especially with other people kind of having a similar revelation that there's, like, kind of more to it than just the rainbow colors.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do. I mean, obviously, I did the Pit Crew one, but that was a template and, you know, very limited things. I do kind of like the idea of, you know, everything's really loud and obnoxious, but some of the accessories are a little more grounded. I feel like you have to be able to look at the characters. They can't, if it's too obnoxious, no one wants to talk to you. But then it's, obviously if it's too obnoxious, you're fitting more into the joke. So, you know, striking that kind of balance is an interesting art challenge. And then I know the creativity of it, you know, the references and stuff like that, I think is really cool.
You know, as long as we're on this topic, I was thinking about, because I love puppetry. And part of my fun and enjoyment with VR chat really is the puppetry aspect. Like when you get these avatars where you do the different like finger gestures, but that will animate the face or your gun, or you'll transform into a robot or whatever. And one of the things I like is when people make weird avatars with extra limbs. So like it'll be like a spider monster, but you have, you know, four arms. And it's interesting because how do you solve the problem of actually, like, animating that realistically?
Yeah.
Because typically people just sort of, like, mirror it. So you can clearly see, like, okay, it's just, like, it's two right arms that move identically. So it just kind of looks like two arms that are one arm. But once in a while, I'll see stuff where it's like, oh, what this person did is, like, there's a toggle where there's a canned animation for one set of the arms, but then you can toggle it and it will like snap the arm to animate with your movement. So you can get a little more variety that adds that organic element to it. And I was thinking about that and I was trying to figure out like, how would you do like a Cerberus character?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I think like Cerberus personas are very interesting looking sometimes. But I've never seen one in VR chat.
Right.
And I think it's like, you could do it, like, if you want to be basic about it, either only one face talks or all three faces talk, you know?
Yeah.
Or two or whatever you go with.
I like the idea of going back to, like, putting a delay. And so, it, you know, one of the faces is mimicking the first one, but it's off by a word, you know, like a syllable or something. And so it
I wonder,
I think
that
would be really... I think that would be really kind of concerning to see where like the middle face is talking normal and then the second face is literally a word behind like the entire time and just like miming the and you're just like, what in the fuck? But it might be kind of cool.
You know, what if the one that's delayed, maybe it doesn't have the lip sync, but it still like tilts the head on delay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you could do that. I know this doesn't really count, but I had that King Ghidorah avatar. And he doesn't have arms. So the way it works is like you use your left and right arms to control the left and right heads.
Yeah.
And so that's like a very easy self-explanatory kind of puppet. But it's really fun. You know, it's a cool effect when you get it going. Because it's like, oh, look at the crazy monster with three heads. Whoa.
I wish I had. So it comes down to like, I wish I had more time. Because some of the VR chat stuff you are doing with avatars seems really fun. And obviously there's, you know, an artisticness to it. That I think would be cool to play with. But it comes down to just, it's a big time, to me, a big time commitment. And also because of all the furry nature of most of it, at least like what I'm currently using, I don't want to share that with the normal people in my life, Cameron. I want them to continue to respect me. And so I feel like the avenue of like showcasing what I work on is remarkably small.
Oh, for sure. That's a very real concern.
Like the Slam by Wolves Slam project that will probably never actually get finished. But I mean, I've put work into that, and ideally the guitarist is going to send me stems so I can start sequencing the bass. If that ever gets done, we make a song or three and we're happy with it. I think because of the nature of that kind of music and how guttural and like extreme and stupid it is, I could show that to people and be like, yeah, we made slam music. And they're like, well, what's the song about? It's like, it doesn't really matter. It's just noises. Because that's what it will sound like, even if I spend hours writing lyrics. Like at a certain point, you know, you don't pronounce words in that genre. And we'll use, you know, some weird AI generative images for the album art that are cool but stupid, or you know, the furry aspect to it is kind of hidden. And it's also a funny project. So like, oh yeah, it's about, you know, we did a song about getting fucked by wolves because we thought that would be funny. And well, I probably wouldn't lead with that. I think there's more avenues to share that than there would be to, hey, here's my persona character I made in VR chat.
But don't worry, guys, it's ironic.
Exactly. I don't even know what I would do for mine with the Sparkle Dog thing, because my initial reaction to it was like, oh, I'll just recolor every, you know, make the coloring obnoxious. And I think the reason that's the reaction at first is because it's easy. You know, you open it up, you take the paint bucket tool or whatever it is and just pick colors that don't look good together. It's when you start adding accessories and Lady Gaga albums to the hair that you need to put in the work on top of like having the clever idea.
A little bit. It's also like just drop the texture in there and it's like, haha, it's funny. Haha, I giggle.
I think if you could do like a cape and have it just be a sheet of like Pokemon cards, that would be kind of funny, because that would also be a reference to something, but really hard to look at.
I also like one of the other things too is like I had this concept, and I don't want to do it for this avatar, but I bet somebody else could. But on the topic of the audio link, like there's this tech in VRChat where depending on sound playing on a media player, things can like light up. So you get like really good rave effects and stuff. And that's fun for the dance scenes and everything. But something that I thought would be really funny is you set up like a halo and angel wings that will like pulse to like tempo or treble. And then you get devil horns and like devil wings and a little tail that will pulse to the bass.
Oh, that's clever.
But it's like it but like set it up so it's transparent. So you only see it when they light up. So it's like they disappear. But then as soon as the music starts, then you see these like conflicting halves. I can be your angle or your deagle.
I like that. I think that would be fun.
Stuff like that would just be fun. You know, you can lean into the semi-ironic deviant art edgelord, you know, I'm a teenager in my bedroom right now attitude.
Yeah. I kept thinking about like where I work, and it's like, oh, could I do fun things with, you know, some of the screen printing like brands that I've dealt with, or the equipment, like taking pictures of printing presses and turning those into tattoos or whatever, or just something with like CMYK and RGB for, you know, actual printing. There's a lot of options, Or like 80s horror movies, but the problem is with doing with 80s horror movies is everybody likes them. And so if you have a bunch of references to like Aliens and Scream and Halloween or whatever, like, and people will enjoy seeing that. And the point is to do references to things that people don't want to see.
I think one of my favorite gags, and I'm trying to remember an example of it, and I can't. But one of my favorite gags is to pick like a U.S. president and theme heavily around them, but like a president that nobody can name.
Yeah.
That's, you know, where it's just like, oh, yeah. What was our like 13th president? No. OK. Millard Fillmore. So just lean into the Millard Fillmore persona and have like shirts and buttons and like find like vintage campaign buttons and like have all sorts of trivia and stuff about Fillmore and his presidency.
That's a good idea.
And like, it would be very funny to like, you know, lean into it. And when someone says like, yeah, but who is that? And it's like, well, yeah, you know, he admitted California as a free state. And like, what? Like, who? It's like, no.
I think you could do like comic book style art in an interesting way because there's so much of it. And so you have like the old school, all the 9-panel grids and like the really old Batman things. And then like converse that with the new Batman stuff that's very dramatically posed and colored. And, you know, you could frame some of these pictures on your wall kind of thing because they look so nice. Versus the Joker comic that just came out where the guy maybe used generative AI to do at least some of the stuff and some of the backgrounds, and people were mad about that. And so the different art styles that have gone into Batman and using all of those, because one thing, they're going to fucking clash. The old stuff's going to be kind of obnoxious, and the new stuff, depending on your sensibilities, could be kind of obnoxious. And so just doing like a really shitty Batman-themed Sparkle Dog could be kind of fun.
That could be fun. It could also be interesting if you, like, you could have a bat signal that projects a literal light and bat signal above your head.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I didn't even think about stuff like that.
Like, you could get goofy with it. You could get campy. You have a bright yellow utility belt or something on.
You know what would be funny, too, is to show up to this and just do your entire character just flat black. And just be like the exact opposite of the Sparkle Dog thing. Everybody's really bright and annoying, and you're just like, just walking shadow, like no contours, no nothing.
No, you just show up. You don't even dress up, but you do put on like the Jared Leto tattoos. So you have like the damaged forehead.
There we go. See,
and then like the arm smile. So you like you crush your arms, and it looks like you're laughing, or whatever.
I like that. That would be good.
I didn't mean to talk about Sparkle Dogs for a whole episode. This is terrible.
Honestly, I didn't either, but I'm kind of... I think we had a fun conversation. We talked about the artistic merits of Sparkle Dogs on this episode, and no one had planned for that, and no one wanted it or needed it, but no one comes to this show for things they want or need.
That's true.
You come to this show for the glad space, Cameron, and I want to know, what are you glad about?
I can't remember. I thought I talked about Raw Time already, but maybe that wasn't on the show.
I definitely don't recall it.
So Raw Time was a public access show where they would just play music videos. And this was, it was hosted by Tina Arena. And there's a bunch of like clips and episodes you can find on YouTube that people have saved copies of. But recently a streamer I follow, he did this segment where he played old public access videos that people submitted, and he just watched this whole half hour because it was just so entertaining. And it just, I really recommend you look up the Tina Arena October 1999 video, because she's just so painfully witty. I can't even like imitate her pacing. She's so fast.
You know what would be funny is to mimic this in VR chat and call it RAR time, and then have like a persona that's dressed like her.
Like recreate it.
Yeah. God, there are times I wish I was involved more in this, because I'll have like really stupid ideas like that. Like, oh, that would be a fun little VR chat world. And then I move on with my life and don't make it.
Well, yeah. Well, it's kind of like that that Willy Wonka experience thing.
Yeah.
Where like it was very interesting to watch that event fold out, but at the same time, my whole time I'm kind of like, I know someone's making this on VR chat. I can't wait to see it tonight in person.
Exactly. And then we went and did, and it was
because I know
great.
Someone's gonna like throw this together real fast.
I suppose my glad space, and I want to apologize because I keep going back to the bourbon shit, but I had kind of a fun experience yesterday. I took off early. I put in some PTO. I wanted to take a half day. And I was like, you know what? I'm looking for this bottle I had in Kentucky. I want to see if I can find it. So I was told maybe I can. And I tried a couple different liquor stores, and I'm going through all their stuff and asking, hey, what's behind the glass? You know, I'm looking for this thing, and no one's got it. But it was kind of neat going through the stores in my area and just seeing what people have, what they don't have, what the price differences are from store to store. You know, just kind of taking stock of what I can get around here that I like. And so then I go to the local liquor store, like a couple minutes from my house. And I don't like I like shopping there because the people who run it are really nice, but I don't like shopping there because everything's like $5 to $10 more expensive than anywhere else. And so you're paying that kind of like small town tax. Yeah, you know, it gets you somehow. And I ask him, like, I don't think you're going to have this, but I'm looking for this bottle. And, you know, you're the last place. I was in Kentucky and I found it there and I can't find it around here. And she's like, well, we don't have it, but my son is going to Kentucky tomorrow with some of his friends. And they're going to spend a day, you know, shopping for liquor and you know, seeing the state and the big cities are going to. I can give him your number, and if you got a price range, if he finds it, you know, maybe he can pick it up for you, and you can just pay him back. And I was like, yeah, let's go, let's try it. And it felt so, you know, just like serendipitous, but also kind of quaint, like that small town store where I can walk in there and the people know who I am because I've shopped there enough. And they're like, oh yeah, he's, you know, he'll be good for this, or he's, you know, fun to talk to and knows this stuff. I've literally brought them samples before. Like, hey, I'm walking into a liquor store with an open bottle of liquor. Do you guys want to try this? It's weird stuff you can't get here. And then, you know, and so having that back and forth, it makes me smile. Like, it's such a funny story. Like, if I get a bottle this way, that would be so cool.
But that is cool. I don't think you got to apologize.
I feel like I only have, like, certain things I talk about these days. And I cycle between them, and I hope I worry that it's boring, or that I... No, I think I worry that it's just boring.
I think I'm always boring.
Well, at least we're boring together.
Yay.
And if we crashed a plane, we'd be Boeing together.
That's topical.
Yeah, that joke won't hold up 6 months from now.
Yeah, unfortunately it might.
Are we done?
I want to end on something besides plane crashes.
Okay.
I mean, you know what? Let's see what happened on 9/10.
I was going to make a 9/11 joke and I was like, I bet Cameron will too though. We probably don't need to do that.
Let me see. No, we probably don't need to do that, but it is National Pet Memorial Day. That's sad too. What? What? Okay, okay. ChatGPT. Hello, ChatGPT. I need help closing my podcast with an uplifting and inspirational and funny and witty comment. Certainly. How about this? And remember, folks, life's like a podcast. It's full of unexpected twists, hilarious moments, and plenty of wisdom to glean. It said glean.
Wow.
It's a callback.
Wow. Glitch in the matrix there.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
I learned... I.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I'm so confused.
I was confused about the word gleam or glean earlier, and it all came full circle.